Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Dota Underlords podcast, episode 7. It's been a long time. I've been at TI-related activities. Swim has been jerking off in his room, and Zeno finally got a new webcam. Congratulations to you, sir. How are you
Thank you.
I'm good. You know, just been jerking off. It's been good.
It's the dream. I'm excited enough to...
You guys are just jealous, honestly.
One frame so. Every 5 minutes.
So. Well, I'm very jealous. I wish I could get away with wearing a silk robe at all times of the day. Instead, I just go with the pajama pants.
Yeah.
Not quite as hardcore as Swim. So we have a big patch to discuss, but I do want to kind of catch up with everybody. Of course, if you're watching on Swim's stream, he has the incorrect overlays as usual. If you're watching on YouTube, then it's kind of correct. Neil needs to make a three-version person. For now, we're putting a fourth person, and his name is Gaben. Gaben, how are you doing today? Looks like we'll have to fix his microphone in the future. What have you been doing, Swim, the last 3 weeks?
I've been playing Underlords, dude. What do you mean? Been climbing in Lord. I got up to like 115 or something last couple of days. Then I tanked it all down, but that's fine because it's patch time, and I'm doing some experimentation.
Excellent. Zeno, how about you, buddy?
Looking for houses. That's been the
very stressful
flavor of the month. Yeah, it's been a real nightmare, but that's okay. It'll happen eventually.
So I would like to make one announcement before we officially get started. I haven't even told Zeno or Swim this, I don't believe, so just an FYI. This podcast will probably be every other Friday from now on. I think it's going to be best to have this every 2 weeks.
So starting two giant patches to talk about instead of one.
Honestly, Shannon, I was going to suggest the same exact thing. You read my mind.
I mean, we're very alike in a lot of ways. When it comes to laziness, I just assume that we're aligned most of the time, right?
You get me like no other man.
I know. I've seen you naked as well. So, Zeno, would you like to go over any reviews that we've had? Thank you for any reviews that you guys have posted on the podcast. Appreciate it.
I mean, there's one thing that is very important. More than any other thing, more than playing Underlords, it's definitely leaving a 5-star review for this wonderful podcast. I mean,
yeah,
that's basically the most important thing you guys should have in your lives right now. Speaking of 5-star reviews, we have Bricklebra, very nice name, posted a review a little while ago, since it's obviously been a while since we've recorded. But he says, I mean, this is the only Underlords podcast. I can't really listen to anything else about the game, and I mean, I really like the game, so tight. 5 stars. And P.S. If you put an artichoke in the Instant Pot with a cup of water, some
fucking
salt, and
God damn.
lemon, you'll have a pretty decent artichoke in like 10 minutes. And it goes on. But honestly, that the artichoke thing is basically where this one's at. We also have Sir Nifflenob that says, Shannon, hey, it's me, your neighbor Jeff. Can you bring back the Tupperware I let you borrow last week? 5 stars.
Okay.
That's all we got for now.
Thank you, guys, for those excellent reviews. Swim, would you like to perhaps catch us up before we... I wanted to read this today's patch because it's big, but since I've been away for like 2 weeks and haven't played that much Underlords, you want to just sum up what the last few patches have kind of done to the game as a whole? Because I saw that they changed the odds like 5 times, and I'm fucking confused at this point.
Yeah, basically, they made the odds very in favor of legendaries and epics, and then immediately they kind of like toned down the legendaries. So as of this patch, like right before this patch today, legendaries were kind of not so much a thing anymore. But the epics or the forecasts are pretty prevalent, and a lot of comps right now are kind of playing like the old good stuff legendary meta, but with the forecasts, you know, stuff like Disruptor, Tidehunter are kind of running rampant. A lot of builds are just like running teamfight with stuff like 4 Warlocks, and Bloodbounds are all over the place, my friend.
Yeah, tell me about these Bloodbounds, because I was watching your stream earlier. You were saying that the big time contract you thought was OP in the previous patch. Is that right?
Yeah,
it still is.
It's kind of gotten to the point where it's just a little bit too abusable, especially with Ogre getting buffed in the way that he got, where he cast at the very start of the fight because he has no mana cost. It's a really big deal, because getting that attack speed like early on, being able to get multiple big time contracts, or putting it on something that can abuse it just a little too well, like an Arc Warden or like a Terror Blade, it just ends up being a little too powerful. And if you get two, you kind of auto win the game if you play it right.
Huh. Interesting. Okay. All right. So let's get started with today's update, because it's a doozy. Ace tier heroes and contraptions. So just an FYI, and I think we want to talk about this at the end, the whole they've kind of teased us on Underlords, the actual avatars that are going to be. I want to talk about this at the end. Do not let me forget about it, all right? Because I want to just finish with that, because I have some theories potentially. Okay, so contraptions. Contraptions are placeable items, and there are four in the game right now. You can drag them around, and they don't count as an extra unit towards your cap and whatnot. We'll go over each one individually and just have both of you have played.
Yeah, I played one game, so I have a couple thoughts on that.
So aces are now basically tier 5 units. That's the new moniker for them. And each is the capstone to its associated alliance. So we'll talk about those in detail as well. Each ace unit, in addition to its regular abilities, offers a new ace effect that is enabled when you have at least one of the level of its associated alliance. So this changes so much, and the last thing we're going to talk about in the patch is that legendaries are easier to get now because of the percentages have changed again, right? So what do you guys think about just that concept of ace units?
I think it's great. It's basically allows for a higher degree of synergy. I think legendaries have been a really problematic spot for the entire game because they're not really high synergy effects, right? They're basically just big teamfight AoEs. You know, there's nothing like that wants to play for high synergy that like knights or elusives in the legendaries. They're just like team fighters, and this kind of causes them to either be too strong or too weak. But now they're more situational. Certain builds will use them, certain ones won't, and that just makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, I agree. It's also like they're just kind of like a nice thing to throw in. Like you're not building around them too much necessarily, at least in like early mid game. And it's also like one of those things you don't need to get like there's no like tier 2 legendaries or anything like that you really need to get. It's just like the capstone stuff is like a nice it is a capstone. It's a nice little benefit.
Yeah, it actually, I think that one kind of like almost subtle thing that they did that changed was they made it specifically so you have an increased chance of finding the specific one that completes your alliances, which what this means is they can add more legendaries or more ace tier units as it is now. They don't have to stay in a pool of like 6 or 7 anymore. They can actually add so that they're like 10 or 12, and you'll still be able to have a decent shot at finding one you're looking for.
Yeah, let me read the exact line for people that haven't read it yet. So when at least one level of that alliance is enabled, when an ace unit appears in the shop, the odds of it being the ace unit associated with that alliance is increased by 15%. So that's really interesting. And is this like a situation where you want to hold units sometimes on the bench potentially, or is that too next level?
No, exactly. Yeah, people are already doing that in like Lord lobbies because it increases the percentage of getting what you want if you put them on the board while you're rolling.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. All right, let's go over the hero changes and then we'll get into all the juicy stuff, although this is kind of juicy as well. Bloodseeker alliance change from human assassin to human Deadeye assassin. Obviously makes sense considering he wants to always hit the units that are lowest so he can heal up, and he's very fast, he can run around the board. Does this, in conjunction with some assassin stuff that we'll talk about later, makes him stronger in general? Do you guys think this is do you like this change?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a bit of an improvement. It makes him a bit more playable. It makes Deadeye a bit more playable. I don't personally expect he's going to be super good off this, but yeah, it's balanced.
Holy Jesus. My.
Sorry, I have a little yipper in the background.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Like, obviously, it's a little bit of a buff, but how much of a buff it is, we'll kind of wait to see how much it plays out in comparison to all the other assassins there are. It's all right.
All right, Bounty Hunter got a bit of a buff in terms of attack damage. We don't really need to discuss that because it's kind of minor, I feel like. If you guys want to stop me at any point, by all means. One of the bigger changes, though, is Disruptor is no longer a shaman. So it was just Brawny Warlock. And of course, he was changed from a tier 4 unit to Ace. What do you think? Let's talk about the name Ace real quick. What do you guys think of that? You like it?
I don't know. It kind of goes with the card set theme. But yeah, sure. Why not?
I'll get used to it. It's okay.
I'll get used to it too. I feel kind of neutral about it, honestly. So, are you supposed to say tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, tier 4, and then Ace? Or are they going to come out with like names for each? Like tier 3 is a Jack, for example?
No. Yeah, I hope they don't go that far.
They're not going to do that.
All right, just making sure. All right, so anyway, back to the changes. Disruptor, max HP was buffed a bit to kind of align with the fact that he's now a quote-unquote ace. Same with the attack damage overall. And his ace effect, so if you pick him up, the effect of the Warlock Alliance is now applied to two units in addition to the Warlock itself, rather than one unit. That seems pretty good if you can find Disruptor.
It's basically completely nuts. I mean, like I was saying, the meta before this patch was like a lot of people were in four Warlocks. It was an extremely popular build. And I think this is the strongest ace effect out of all of them, for sure.
Right. Okay. And it's kind of like one of those things, too, where obviously it's harder to find earlier because it's now it's an ace unit. But, you know, with some of the changes, like once you hit level 9 or so, with being able to buff probabilities once you start rolling those aces, I don't know. I feel like, Swim, you could probably run all the math on this, but it feels like it's not like super impossible to find. So once you hit that, it seems really strong.
All right, moving on to Enigma, who do you guys feel is the weakest? Is it still considered the weakest ace unit in the game before we get into the changes? That was easily the weakest, right?
Enigma?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's been a change to the Shaman Alliance, too.
I mean, before this patch is what I'm saying.
Right, before this patch, yeah. It's not great.
Okay, so the changes, now an ace unit for the Shaman Alliance, and the ace effect is it extends the effects of the Shaman Alliance to your entire army, which was tweaked a little bit, but essentially everyone will have a chance to turn somebody into a chicken for, I want to say it's like 3 seconds, right? It's not like super long.
It's 1.5 seconds.
Okay, even less than I thought. What do you guys think of this one?
It's good, in my opinion.
It's pretty good. I think it might be the second best one, actually. The reason it's so good is kind of the reason that the Shaman Alliance for the past couple of weeks has been very good, which is it's accessible. Like, you don't really have to go out of your way for it, because Shamans are now a pair. Arc Warden is very good, and all you have to do is, if you're in Arc Warden, you find Enigma, sure, you slap it on your board. I mean, why the heck not? It's very non-committal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, Gyrocopter is now an ace for the Deadeye Alliance. A lot of love for Deadeyes, which I personally like a lot. The ace effect grants Deadeye units True Strike. Units with True Strike cannot miss. I mean, it's something. I don't feel like this is super strong, but feels like they're maybe Deadeyes become more of a thing in the future with a couple more, we've called it micro buffs, if you will, in the future.
Yeah, kind of in the same boat as you. Like, Assassins, whatever. Like, obviously you give Bloodseeker this, but like with Assassins, like, sure, that's good against Elusive, but you already have crits that are good against Elusive anyway. We're seeing a lot more capability of adding stuns into different lineups now, with some pretty good forecast units that do AoE stuns. So, I don't know. So, like, maybe from like a hunter standpoint, putting that in there and giving Sniper the ability to hit against elusive lineups might be good. But I kind of feel like elusive lineups aren't super great right now, anyways. So it doesn't excite me very much.
Can't hear you, Swim.
Sorry about that.
You're doing great.
I was. Thank you. Yeah, I was saying I don't think this changes very much. All things considered, it's pretty weak. You mostly will be using Gyrocopter for the inventor ability, and that I think is one of the weaker concepts in the game right now. I like it. I'm very much with you on that, Suns fan. It's like, it's a cool idea. I'd like for it to feel better, but I don't think this is quite enough.
But remember, and this just came to my memory, because it's been so long since we podcast. Remember the last time we had this talk about micro buffs on my boy Juggernaut, who was garbage a few weeks ago. Yeah. And I was like, just a couple more things, a couple more tweaks. And he's OP, and then they had to nerf him after that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So we could potentially see something like for Deadeyes, but who knows?
Yeah, I completely agree.
I know you do. We think alike, Swim, almost all the time. Other than Aegis, that's the big that's really hurting our relationship, honestly, but that's another story. Lich, ace for the Mage Alliance, and the effect is your army's mana regeneration from attacks is increased 10% per Mage Alliance level, which there are only 2, 3, and 6. So 10 or 20%, essentially. I mean, it's a buff, technically. Right?
Yeah, it's a buff, technically.
How much is, I don't know.
does 10%, like, how does that feel? I don't know.
I would say the bigger buff to mages is not itself the 10% on this effect, but more so the fact that it's easier to hit the ace or legendary, I guess they're now called aces, that you want, just because of that, like, 15% chance if you're completing alliance, if you define that. And Lich was very integral for mages, like, especially if you could get, like, a Lich too, it was a really big deal. So I think mages do feel a bit better for now.
All right. Medusa is an ace. I just love saying that now. For the scaled alliance, how do you, how do you think they chose which alliance to kind of attribute to these ace units?
That's a really good question.
They each have two, and Disruptor had three, and now two.
I thought Medusa would be ace hunter. That would have made a lot more sense, I think.
Yeah, it is interesting. So, for the scaled alliance, like I said, attack range of Medusa was changed from 4 to 3, so pretty giant nerf. Also, Stone Gaze radius was changed from 4 to 3, pretty giant nerf. But the ace effect grants scaled units retaliate. Man, the global items are coming back. I used to love this bad boy.
Yeah.
When a unit with retaliate is attacked, they apply a 25 damage a second per alliance level debuff to their attacker. So it could go up to 50 for the, if you have four scaled, which you won't really have very often. Now, you guys need to remind me, refresh my memory on retaliate. Wasn't the, like, the original retaliate, was it not 80?
It was 80,
am
yes.
Am I wrong? Okay, yeah. So this is not super.
Nope. Yeah, it's not great.
What are your thoughts overall, though?
I think that the Medusa nerf is pretty big, for sure. The reduction in Stone Gaze range is a big nerf. The reduction in attack range is even a nerf, because her split shots can only go for targets in her range, so this is literally lowering her DPS by some amount as well. I don't feel super great. I'm probably not going to be building much Medusa in the upcoming meta.
Completely agree. It feels like a worse unit now. It doesn't make up with it through a garbage retaliate damage. I feel like that attack range stuff is actually, like, really brutal. It really changes that you have to position Medusa too, so...
Yeah, there's so much contempt in the word garbage when you say it like that.
I think that one thing that Medusa has going for her is that Tidehunter is just very good right now. The changes, and you were asking about this before, Suns fan, the changes that they made to, like, probabilities and epics, you see a lot of tier 4s or epics just rampaging everywhere. Tidehunter 2 is a very, very common choice in a lot of comps. And if you are in Tide 2, you find a Medusa, you know, maybe you can complete scaled and get a bit of retaliate on your 2700 HP chonker. I mean, why not?
Can I go off on a slight tangent? You said epic. Where do you get that moniker from?
It's like the colors from just general rarity. I don't know if, like, Hearthstone...
It's not Dota, though, right?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure if Hearthstone,
Dota's
like
common,
it.
Uncommon, rare, mythical, legendary. There's something in between there, maybe. Okay, I was just making sure it wasn't... I'm not crazy that it was Dota-related. All right. Oga Magi. We didn't get to discuss this change, but this was a couple weeks ago, I believe. It's zero mana cost now for Bloodlust. He just instantly casts it, and now the change is he will cast it on himself first and then on allies ordered by distance closest first. What do you guys talk about the change originally and how it's affected the game and what this might do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a buff. Basically, Ogre has just been getting stronger and stronger with Bloodlust lately. They've tweaked the numbers up. They've made it mana-less. And now it's even a tiny bit better, I think. The ability for you to control who it's on is nice. Obviously, it means it'll always cast it on itself first, which isn't super ideal. But you can make it cast it on, like, your Terrorblade with a contract if you put it next to it. It's very good.
Yeah, I think it's... definitely a buff overall. As you said, you can get a little bit more picky with who it's actually going on instead of it just being random. You know, it might be a little bit less good just throwing it in with some more range DPS. Obviously, it's always going to be more of a frontline type thing, so Terrorblade is a great example of something to be really good on, but less good just throwing it in with, like, a Bloodbound and even, like, a, you know, like Luna and stuff. Like, I guess you might be running Chaos Knight, it'd be good on that too, but overall good.
Can you Bloodlust that's a cute dog. That's the one that made that horrifying noise, Swim?
Is this
a new dog?
Yeah, it is.
Adorable.
Is it yours?
Yeah. Her name is Wisp.
It's actually yours? Mm-hmm. Wisp. Very cute. Are you sure you're you're up to the task. You don't seem like a person that...
No, I love taking care of little savage units.
Is your roommate perhaps doing more work in this department than you? By
oh, hell yeah.
Just making sure. I just, you know, just wanted to double check. Can you bloodlust the same target twice technically? Does that even...
No, it won't. I think Ogre's AI, previous and current, won't bloodlust the same unit twice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right.
Techies is now an ace unit for the Inventor Alliance. And the effect is grants Inventor units with chain reaction. If an enemy dies as a result of unstable reactor, they explode just as if they had unstable reactor. So, boom, 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 boom. Is this actually good, though? It sounds cool. I don't know if it's... I'd have to see it in practice.
It's probably flashier. I'm sure it'll lead to funny clips. I like it. It's definitely the most fun. I don't think it's as powerful as it might immediately sound.
I've kind of gone back and forth on this. I do feel like it's never really going to play like a pivotal role in too many fights. But like maybe the one caveat towards that is like obviously... You know, usually with your Inventor units, they're dying sort of later in the round when other units are lower. So, you know, I can think of a lot of times, especially early mid game, where, you know, maybe you have a couple units left, your Timber Saw is going down, and everything else is already pretty darn low. But overall, it seems like a really cool thing when it does happen, but it seems like a pretty low probability of anything actually coming of it.
Right. Okay. And last but not least for this section, Troll Warlord is now an ace unit. Attack rate changed from 1.0 to 1.3. That's a buff, yes?
I think I might be incorrect. I thought it was a nerf because I thought it was using like the base attack time, like the number of, I don't
base
know.
Base attack time versus attack rate. I feel like those are two different things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I might be confused, but if you look in the like Heropedia, like Troll Warlord right now has an attack rate of 0.77.
What did he have before?
I thought it was a bit higher before, but I might be mistaken.
I thought this attack rate was how many attacks the unit does per second, and that might
That's
not be
I
true.
I think it's
one attack every 1.3 seconds.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Inverse.
Yes. Okay, that's what I believe.
The first time I read this, and even now, I'm still like, you're not 100% sure, right?
I'm not 100% sure now.
Because for me, based on all like Dota patches, this wording for me.
I know.
Means
me too. It's weird so wording.
So I guess that's kind of up in the air. The ace effect though is it grants your units mini bash. So while attacking, your team has a 5% chance per Troll Alliance level of stunning their target for 0.25 seconds. So you can get this up to 10% if you have 4 trolls, which previously wasn't super strong, but maybe now there's some reason. I feel like for the most part, this is only super relevant for Troll because he attacks, like, especially if this is a buff, he attacks super fucking fast. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys think of this?
I think
Alliance now.
This is one that you can kind of easily compare. You know, it's sort of attacking versus being compact, but you can compare it to the Shaman one, right? The Shaman one is a 10% chance upon being attacked of basically disabling a unit for 1.5 seconds. So that's what, 6 times longer than this. And this is a 10% chance at 4 trolls. So to me, when you compare those two, this one seems much worse. Now, maybe they feel like the Shaman Alliance generally is like a little bit weaker in a lot of compositions, and maybe, you know, 2 trolls and 4 trolls, you know, obviously there are some pretty strong troll units right now. So maybe that's kind of what they're thinking, but upon first glance, it seems not great.
Yeah, I mean, Zeno hit the nail on the head, I think. Like even in that comparison, that's with 4 trolls, but more often than not, you're going to be in 2 trolls, and then it's literally like 1/12 as good as the Shaman Alliance. Obviously, the troll themselves, the pair, is giving you some attack speed, and there is value in that for sure, but I think this actual like ace effect is not super strong. The numbers are a little too low.
So I will say the concept I love. If it ends up being kind of weak, I could see them like increasing either percent chance or the actual stun itself to like a half second or something like that. But, you know, remains to be seen. But I do like the idea. Okay, so item changes. These are kind of fucking crazy. So we talked about the idea of them. So the first item is a tier 2 contraption called a barricade. Has 400 health and 20 armor. and you can place two placeable barriers to block enemies and ranged attacks, and they are immune to spells. I don't know exactly how these work, but you guys have played, so you tell me.
Yeah. Swim, I know you actually got a chance to play with them, so I'll let you go for it. I feel like I just want to say one thing, generally speaking, is I've always been really excited about the idea of like terrain modification and stuff like that in this game. Yeah. Like, I thought it'd be really cool if you could put like, you know, difficult terrain in certain areas, you know, high terrain in other. They give you little bonuses or slow movement speed. Like, I think that would be really, really cool. That being said, don't know that barricade is the way I would have gone for that, but Swim, you'll have to take it away on this one.
Yeah, barricade is a weird item. It's kind of, most of the time it's going to be completely useless, but there are probably some gimmicky ways that you can kind of abuse this. A lot of people are saying, you know, you might be able to have it like in a corner with an arc warden, so we always summon the clone, you know, in that far exterior, and like every time it dies it'll always just summon a new one. Potentially protect your backline versus something like assassins. I will say it's definitely like better in general the more ranged units you have. If you have like a ranged heavy comp, this would be something that would be pretty good in something like six hunters, potentially, if six hunters was more of a thing. Just because any ranged unit's attacks, it's going to completely block, and melee units will have to punch through it to get there.
So, couple questions. I don't know if you guys can even answer this. Can, like, when you get the item, they just appear on your board, correct? But you can't ever get rid of them. Like, you can't unequip them, essentially. Oh, normal items, right? You can't put them to the side, I'm guessing. Can you sell them? Have you tried selling them?
You can't sell them, no.
Okay. So the other question is, it says it has 400 HP and 20 armor. When would units attack them?
As far as I know,
there's literally no way to get through.
When there's literally no way to get through, and like the target they want to attack is completely blocked off behind the barricades.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I'm sure we'll see some cool strats. I think this is one of those items that's kind of difficult to gauge until we see some, like a lot of gameplay, right?
Really,
I feel like it's very difficult. So the next item is kind of hilarious. It's called Target Buddy. It's another tier 2 contraption, has 1,000 HP and 10 armor. Looks like an awesome Tidehunter. I hope they make like a plushie out of this. And it taunts enemies and draws fire and can equip items. This looks super cool. I love the idea of this.
So this one I did get in my one game. And this one, I'm pretty sure, at least on first glance, this one seems like a tier 1 super duper good item. So I think there's a couple things. Like, one, just having 1,000 health, 10 armor tank for a tier 2 item is good in and of itself. The second thing is it does taunt every 10 seconds. Like, taunt disables spellcasting, and then because it has 10 armor, like, you don't really care about it gaining mana because it's not doing anything, and whoever is attacking it is not gaining any mana, or not a lot of mana, because it has 10 armor. You know, it's pretty tanky. So, like, for a frontline, it's really good early game, it's really good mid game, it's pretty good late game. It also opens up getting to some synergy buffs that you don't normally get to until a little bit later. You can go 6 assassins at level 6.
Yes!
You could do some more funky stuff with like 3 mages, 3 assassins, and have this frontline. It's like a legitimately pretty tanky frontline.
I saw your tweet,
unit,
Zeno.
So.
How did you get 2 kills? Is that
no
Blade
idea.
Now?
I have oh. No, I didn't put, I had Vanguard on it. And by the way, for right now, I'm a little bit unsure if items actually buff its HP or not, because when the round would start, it would just drop down to like 1,000 out of 1,250. Just as an FYI for, you know, until they hotfix it. I don't know how that works, but it seems really, really good. I think it's an amazing item. I'm a little bit afraid to say that when Swim's in the room, because I feel like I might be wrong, but it seems pretty crazy.
Oh, well, let's be real. Swim's wrong a lot.
What have I been wrong about?
Aegis, let's go. Let's hear it.
Aegis is garbage.
Aegis is trash, since we
keep going, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, no, Zeno completely hit it. I mean, 100%. It's nuts. It's almost certainly the strongest contraption. You pretty much auto-pick this over almost anything. I mean, just the ability, even like without something like a Chainmail or a Vanguard, it's still good value. And if you slap a Chainmail on it, it's just insane.
Yeah, it seems really good on paper. Very interested to see how this works. Kind of the same way. I mean, it's more transparent than Barricade, I feel like. I think you guys are going to be correct in the assessment. That is very good. All right, third item, Healing Ward. It's a tier 3 contraption, has 200 HP, and heals friendly units within one cell for 20 HP a second. First impression was, I love the idea. It seems weak, though, right now.
I agree.
Is that, am I correct?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. When you compare it to Mechanism, it's a one cell radius, and it takes 12.5 seconds to even be the amount of healing that Mechanism is. So it's worse than Mechanism, and Mechanism is already a pretty underwhelming tier 3.
Yeah. Is it mech bigger than one cell radius as well?
Yep. It's 3 cells, actually. It's like basically the entire board.
Wow. Okay, so it's like infinitely better. Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's surprising.
Yeah, so this is, I think, just like the weakest contraption by far.
Okay. And then the fourth and final contraption for now is Tombstone. My boy, does this mean Undying is coming to the game? Oh, need to see that hero.
I feel like, wouldn't this mean it's not coming to the game? I mean...
Oh, he has 3 other skills, Zeno. Although I think he's probably gonna get reworked in
Dota. It's
the
Dota game. They're gonna add all the Dota heroes.
No, they're gonna, dude. All right, before we go on, which hero do you want to see? You don't have to name the skills. Just one hero that you want to see from Dota.
Rubick.
Pango. Rubick?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
I think Rubick would actually be amazing. I think something like. I don't know. I'd like to see like a more utility assassin, like other than the Sand Kings, maybe something like Nyx or, I don't know.
Interesting. All right. So
I haven't played a lot of Dota recently. So.
The Tombstone is a tier 4 contraption, has 2,000 HP and 20 armor. Ally and enemy heroes spawn zombies when they die within 2 cells of the Tombstone. Do you guys have any idea the stats of the zombies?
I had them a second ago. They have, I think, 400 HP. They attack at an attack time of 0.083, and I want to say they do something like 90 damage.
Okay, so they're just better Eidolons, right?
I think so.
This seems pretty good, then. I mean, I have to, again, it's hard to just visualize the zombies and how effective they are, but the idea of this is very strong, and I think it's a cool idea as well. I'm guessing they don't slow or anything like that, like in Dota. Not that that really matters, I guess. But, okay, so you guys like this one?
I haven't had a chance to mess around with this one yet. It seems
the
pretty
idea.
Good. Oh, the idea. Yeah, I love the design of this one.
Yeah, I think it seems all right. I think paired with like a summoning stone, if it works like that, it seems really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it should.
We'll see.
All right,
it is a tier 4 unit, so.
That's true. Alliance changes. Shaman now requires 2 heroes, finally, instead of 3. And it's been nerfed a bit. The units now have a 10% chance of being turned into a chicken when attacking a shaman instead of 17. So, Disruptor is no longer a shaman. So, there's only 3 shamans, one of which is Shadow Shaman, which you almost never want. Although, if you want to go for the troll bonus, you never know. What do you guys think? I think it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. I mean,
it's basically Arc Warden and Enigma, right? That's what you need to get.
Basically, yep. That's just it. Yep. Arc Warden and Enigma.
And that's the thing is, like, once you hit Enigma, then it becomes pretty darn good. So I feel
pretty
like
darn in good. I tell you,
shut your mouth, Shan. How dare you? So I think it's good in that aspect. You know, taking out Disruptor from the Shaman mix obviously makes this a little harder to utilize before that, but.
It seems good. A little polarizing. It feels like the Shaman Ace is nuts, but the Shaman Alliance, like the Shaman pair, if you're not acing with Enigma, it seems kind of bad, like kind of awful. It seems like the Ace is just too powerful compared to what the pair does.
Yeah, I agree. It's like one of those ones where you just don't want that synergy other than for rolling Enigma before getting Enigma, so...
These next 3 changes, I have to say, they might be my... I know that there's some crazy stuff that's going to be pretty fun, but based on what I know and love, I am positive that I love these changes.
Everything that busts assassins, you just immediately like, so...
Yes, assassins, they got rid of 9 assassins, and then they buffed levels 1 and 2 by 5% each. So 300% crit is 15% chance instead of 10, and then the next level is 25% instead of 20. They did the same for elusives, got rid of 9... The percentage wasn't buffed as much, but 5% increase for evasions at level 1 and an extra 5% at level 2 to get up to 50% for evasion. And then warriors, they got rid of 9. 10 armor bonus is the same at the first level, and the second level, if you have 6, is 15. Or sorry, it's 20 instead of 15. What do you guys think? I love these changes.
Yeah, I think they're good overall. Assassins went from 3 assassins before was 20% DPS, and at 6 it was 60%, and now instead of 20 and 60, it's 30 and 75. 75% increased DPS for 6 assassins, which I think is pretty nuts. 6 assassins might actually see more play now, honestly. People will mess around with it. Tidehunter, you know, I was saying before with Medusa, like, anything that links with Scaled is good, because Tidehunter is just a good unit right now. Run 6 assassins, Slark links with Scaled, Tidehunter as, like, a frontliner, gets places. Six
Do you warriors. Think anybody's gonna get confused with Target Buddy not being Scaled, Swim? It looks like Tidehunter.
It does look like Tidehunter, it's true. Yeah, I mean...
My immersion... Zeno, what do you think of this level 6s versus cutting the level 9s?
I mean, overall, it's good. Like, a lot of this, you're kind of seeing, like, a 9 hero thing shifting more towards the ace bonuses. One thing I'm a little surprised with is, like, elusive, you used to be able to grant, that extra 10th unit, the elusive bonus as well. Now that's gone, but there's no, like, elusive ace unit. Maybe that's something they'll add in later, but... there's nothing to kind of let you spread that nice elusive bonus out. I mean, but elusive's not great right now anyways, so that's okay. Overall, seems good.
Some reason, I don't know if it's just me. You guys tell me. Elusives just have always, even in auto chess, they're just the least interesting class. Like, they're not fun to watch. They're not fun to play. It's evasion, you know? So I'm not sad to see this, because this is definitely, like, if you wanted to go 9, although it's not... There was a 2-week period where going 9 was really good, right? But yeah. Am I the only one?
I don't really agree with that, but like, I think
I'm with you on this one, Sasuke.
Yes.
Here's the thing. It's like elusive
except for one thing.
Oh god. Elusive is like one of the few things where you'd actually want to get to 10 at like any point before rolling 3 stars, right? And I'm not saying that you necessarily did that, but it at least played a little bit different than a lot of the other builds where you just hit 7, you get some, you know, tier 3 stuff, or now it's, you know, tier 4 warlocks or whatever the heck it is. But it was a different sort of economy playstyle, and now that's gone. So I think in that sense, I'm sad to see it go. Elusives as like a bonus is not very exciting, but I'll miss the level 10.
All right, so wrapping up the patch, the hero odds have changed. How many times is this now, Swim? I've lost count. Is it 4?
This is the fourth tweak, yeah.
So give me the lowdown. Just make it as easy to understand for the layman's as possible, myself.
Well, it's going to be easy for you who missed like the last few weeks.
It's back to normal.
It's back to normal, yeah. I mean, kind of. One, like, legendary odds are back to normal. Like, it's 1% at 8 and 3% at 9, right? Or ace odds, as I guess we have to say now. The one difference is epic odds are on the rise, right? You see, like, the difference between 0% and 10% at level 6 is a big deal. So, like, people want to go to 6 earlier. A lot of people, like, I've been going to 6 on 9 in a lot of games, which is something I haven't done in a while since they added, like, the incentives to lose from the reroll. The epic odds, you know, you see a lot of tier 4s.
Do you know you like these changes? Like it backwards?
I don't know.
Like changes go, just not to interrupt, I think this is the most confusing for me. And I imagine it is for like a lot of the people that don't really pay attention that much. When we change the percentages this often, it's very hard to keep track. That's the one negative of these. I love patches in general, but this is the one negative.
I think a little bit. Like, I think, and I know not a lot of people were super excited about this, but I think seeing the legendaries get a little bit of play for like that one brief moment in time where there were higher probability and everyone wasn't just like rolling 2-star tier 4s all the time, to me was kind of fun, even just from like a nostalgia standpoint. It's like, oh yeah, I remember some of you units that I haven't played in weeks, but. I think now maybe it's going to be in a nice balance where you kind of want to go for some of those ace abilities. You can go for more specific ones. They buff the chances a little bit. So we'll kind of see how it plays out. I just hope that we do see more ace tier units actually getting play now. And I think we will, actually. So I think it's in a good place.
All right, so patch analysis, Zeno, Swim, what do you think? What's your verdict on this bad boy?
I think it's good for the long term of the game. I'm a little concerned with how this current meta is going to play out. I think like Big Time Contract, Arc Warden, 4 costs, 4 Warlocks, a lot of these things that we've been dealing with for the past week are still going to be a little too strong. But once they like smoothen out the curves on stuff like that, I think it's really good. I like the long term changes. I like the idea of what are they called? The contraptions? I like the idea of contraptions, and I like the idea of ace units for sure.
Yeah, overall I agree. I would really love to see maybe in addition to the contraptions, like some sort of like terrain modification. I still think that'd be really fun. I don't know that I really love the barricade stuff, especially with some of the pathing issues that you run into sometimes in games. I sort of feel a little bit scared about how that's going to play out with the barricades, but you know, we'll just have to wait and see on that one. Overall, it's another big, I don't want to say it's a big change, but I think it's exciting to see all the different stuff they're adding to the game now.
All right, I agree. I love this patch. It seems really cool. One last thing I want to discuss before we close this out, guys. I brought it up at the beginning. The idea of Underlords being introduced to the game, which they teased way back when. The idea is that this is how they make money. No. This was like when they first announced the game. It was like this little text that nobody really even noticed. The fact that you have to pay, I think, this is like going to be their pay model for these Underlords, and they affect gameplay. That's how it was worded. I don't know how it's going to work. Do you think that's, like, why haven't they come out with it yet? Do you think they're changing it based on their original assessment?
So I want to say one thing. If you have to pay for things that modify gameplay, just right off the bat, that's garbage, so please don't do that.
So this is my understanding of what the wording was originally. So anything could have changed. It could have been bad wording. I have no idea.
If it's just like little modifiers that, you know, sort of change how you affect the strategy, and it's free and you pay for skins, you know, whatever. That's all good with me. I'm a little bit wary of things that maybe you select at the beginning of a game that sort of force you to play or force you to look to play a certain way right off the bat. In the same sense, I didn't really like the global item, so I hope it doesn't go that route too much, but we'll see.
I agree with Zeno. I have no idea what happened in like the board meetings at Valve with Artifact's launch. I have no idea why some of the decisions were made in terms of like some of the pricing points on some things, because I mean, from just what I've seen and maybe like a tiny bit of talking with Valve, I think they've learned from the experience. I would be pretty surprised if they put a price tag on stuff like Underlords that like directly gave you certain powers. That just seems really
so maybe weird. Well, what do you think of the let's pretend that it's not something they monetize like the battle passes, I guess. I'm just trying to think of how they make money. Cosmetics. So introducing like the Underlords, they come out with like 10, let's say, and you choose something that affects the gameplay. What do you think of that idea, Swim, in general?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you don't have to pay
it's
for
it. Interesting.
Them.
Right.
I think that you can monetize with cosmetics or something very similar to like the compendium. I don't know. It's possible like a compendium style system wouldn't work for a game that doesn't have a super big tournament scene, but I mean, I think it's pretty genius, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've gotten creative with ways to make money without affecting the level playing field of a free-to-play game, which for me is kind of the biggest deal of all. I really hope they don't mess with that. As far as having Underlords that sort of tweak different things, I think that's something you really have to be careful with, especially if you're picking them at the very beginning of a game. For a game where you're really just trying to... Underlords is a game where it rewards you for flowing where the game takes you to a certain degree. So I don't really like things that go against that, but you know, who cares? Like, we'll see, and they'll try something, and it'll either be fun or not, and then they'll tweak it. And I think that's the nice thing, is now we can trust that at least when they're trying stuff, they're willing to change it a week later, and we don't just sit here for 3 months wondering, you know, what the heck's going
on.
So
that's true.
One other thing I do want to touch on really quick, I can't wait for Duo's game mode. I know maybe that's not the most exciting thing ever, but I think that'll be really fun, depending on how they implement it. So,
and turbo mode?
No. Get that garbage out of here. No.
It's for mobile people. 40-minute games are kind of brutal on mobile, aren't they?
What if you want to like just play a video game while you're taking a poop and you're not constipated? You need a turbo mode, Zeno.
That's fair. I feel like you almost have to have a turbo mode if you want this game to succeed on mobile. My one worry is I really hope they don't split it between casual mode and turbo mode and ranked mode and 5 million different modes where the player base becomes a little fractured. That's never great.
It depends on how many people are playing. I would love an all random deathmatch, Zeno. Come on. You can't beat that shit. That's good stuff. I love it. All right. So that does it for this episode of the greatest podcast in Dota Underlords. Also the only podcast that I'm aware of in Dota Underlords. Episode 7. Swim, Zeno, thank you again. It's going to be every other Friday, guys. You can find the audio on literally every audio podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, Google, etc., and on the Dota Cinema YouTube channel. Thanks for watching. Until next time, Suns fan, Swim, Zeno, and Gabe, signing out. Goodbye.